Awesome. Well, welcome again to another night of excitement. I am stoked with our next guest. And I don't know if Dominic fell asleep tonight, but he's not joining us. I'm going to have to give him the gears, or maybe he can jump on later. But Dominic is unfortunately, hopefully everything's good. We hope Dominic's not just having a nap and nothing serious has happened. But anyways, we have a great guest on, everyone. Also, just before we get started, we're live on every social channel there is. The only one we're not tonight is TikTok because I can't lie. I wish I could lie to you guys, but I can't put the damn phone thing up in my studio because the thing's broken. So I have to get it fixed and then I'll be live back on TikTok. Plus, it doesn't have a filter, so I don't look like I'm 20 years younger either. So it's going to be a great show tonight. We have a great guest. Jason Brooks is on the show tonight, and I can't wait to get to meet him. I can already tell we're going to be buds here, and this is going to be so much fun. You know what? He's a legend in the industry. I say this, and he's probably not going to agree, but I really, truly believe he is. He's an author, crazy book too, and a coach, which I always say you have to have a restaurant coach if anyone's listening to my stuff, right? He's a speaker. He's a founder of Hospivation. Jason, what the hell's that? So we're going to have that on and we're going to learn about this. And you know what? First of all, I have to throw a little commercial in here before we start and pull my camera up. And you're probably wondering, I got a new mouse too. So bear with me. But I'm going to turn this down here and then we're going to get started here in a second. Like I said, we love questions, comments, or anything else. Ask us questions on Instagram. We're live on Instagram. Live, we're on Facebook, not TikTok. I said that already. LinkedIn, YouTube, as well as X. We are everywhere. And the one thing I do want to mention, because my co-host isn't here, and I have to apologize. We have to bug him a little. But like I said, I hope he's okay. But we have we have to throw a little bit of Restaurants Canada commercial up here. So Jason, this is the first one. So I hope you feel a little bit special that we're actually going to do a little promo video for Restaurants Canada, because Restaurants Canada is a part of an event coming up here 8th to the 10th. And I actually have an ad read here that I can't find either. So we'll pretend that, but it's April 8th to the 10th in Toronto at the Encana Center. You know what? It's the event of the year. If you haven't been to the Restaurants Canada show, you suck and you should go, because it is the best event in the year in Canada when it comes to our industry. There's nothing like it. They have speakers, there's keynotes. It's incredible. And I just have to tell you, if you don't go, you probably going to miss out so much in the industry. I've been there, I don't know how many years in a row, and every time I come back going, wow, that was bigger than before and more valuable. So I want to do a little commercial here for Restaurants Canada. Then we're going to bring this rock star Jason in. But you know what the best is? I don't know if people know this, but when you do a podcast with someone that has the same name as you, it's easy to remember their name, just so you know. So anyways, here we'll be right back with Jason in a few seconds. Here's a message from Restaurants Canada. Oh, not that one. Forgot to hit that button.
Dude, I tell you what, you guys from Canada, y'all be rocking out up there, man. I mean, goodness gracious. What in the world? That music was awesome.
That's pretty cool. Hey, have you ever been to the Restaurants Canada event,
Jason? You know what? I have not. I didn't see. And now I suck. 30 seconds in and I already suck. I know. I'm sorry, Jay. I apologize. Man. It's
okay. We'll let it slide. We'll let it slide.
We're, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We forgive really easy up here. Just so you know. Just so you know. Well, I first of all want to thank you, Jason, for coming on the show tonight. And like I said, I apologize. Dominic is missing in action. I don't know what he's doing, but hopefully he's okay. He might join us. He always surprises me. So I am honored to have you on the show. I am blown away of the knowledge you have. I have not read your book. I'm not going to lie. I haven't read it yet. I am going to read it, though, because I am a big believer. Exactly what you have is I got to talk about this because this is like I'm OK. First of all, I've had way too much of that Amazon tea that everyone's drinking now. Have you tried it?
I haven't tried that either, man. I am behind on times down here, yo.
I was going to say.
But I do have some crispy water.
I have this tea now. I don't know. Bloody TikTok got me drinking this tea. It's like the poor man's Ozempic. It's like this. So,
get the hell out.
Exactly. So I'm drinking it, and I tell you, it doesn't taste good at all. Anyways, I love this topic. So I'm whacked a little on caffeine, but I love this topic because I study about how to be a leader all the time. And I think the part of what I really see is the fact that we need more leaders in our industry. We don't have a lot of people in our industry right now when it comes to restaurants and true leaders that I see. It could be different in the US, but in Canada, we have some people out there that just kill it. And I can name a few off the top of my head instantly. And then we see a lot of people that go, you know what, we're just got the title and not necessarily really earned the stripes or earned the the fact that you're a leader. And I love this topic. So thank you for making the time today or tonight. I know it's late there to join us. So tell us a little bit about you. Let's get into
it. Yes. So first, you're welcome. And just to let you and the listeners know, I will drop the whole book on your show. I don't care because that's exactly what this book is made for. It's not made to be a secret. You can ask me anything, everything. I will go page for page, key for key, and go through the whole thing. So that is no issue. Now, my background, you know, you don't have to start out washing dishes to be in the industry, but it just so happens a lot of us start out washing dishes. You know, now you don't have to, just be forewarned, but age 15, banging out dishes, mom and pop seafood restaurant, Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I've went through the ranks, man. I've been the key person on pantry, on saute, on the flat top char grill, the KM, the bar manager, service manager, the AGM, the managing partner, the franchise business consultant, franchise operations coach. I've been through a ton of the ranks. Now, what's crazy is I've worked for 22 different restaurant brands. Sounds crazy. But what that's done, I've been able to see the Mona Lisa painted 20 different ways. Some of those things are some amazing pieces of art. Some of those things are just pieces. So that is actually what is the core of what helped me to make this book. It's a few pieces. It is what I've seen. It is what I went through. But in the book, whenever you get the opportunity to go through it, you'll see each key is broken into three pieces. Each key. Now, some books have chapters. I have keys. Each of the three pieces. So each of the keys have three sections. The main course, which is a short read, but it's the gut of the key. Then you have the takeaway. The takeaway is a 3 to 5 chapter takeaway for if you already read the main course and you just want a quick read, or if you have even less time than a hospitality manager has and you just want a brief overview, go straight to the takeaway. The third piece is called the angle. The angle is quotes from restaurant executives I've had the pleasure of working beside and or quotes that just work well with that key. And that is Every Leader Needs Followers. That's the title of the book, Every Leader Needs Followers, 10 Keys to Transform Restaurant Managers to Hospitality Leaders.
Oh, man. So let's get into this because I feel bad. I've read it, but it's awesome. Like, I just love this topic. Like, and I got to start. So let's get back into the beginning. Let's go to the first keys here. Do you see this I wouldn't say a problem, but are we challenged in the industry with not having leaders, Jason?
I think we're challenged in the industry with one, trying to be something while remaining our authentic self. And two, we're also challenged with titles. And then three, we are also challenged with not knowing how to distribute work. So whenever you say, are we challenged with leaders? I say that we are definitely challenged when it comes down to sticking, for one, too much to the title, a manager or a leader or a executive. The average restaurant manager has to wear a managing hat, a leadership hat, and a coach hat multiple times throughout the day. The question is, when do you wear the right hat at the right time in order to get the best results? We also try to do too much ourselves. Sometimes it's because we don't even understand it. This is one of the rare industries that we will teach an 18-year-old kid how to run a $1 million business on a profit margin that's about 7%.
I was gonna say it's different up here. You go down in that number up here.
Okay, 3.5%.
There you go. That's what I like.
But we are one of the rare industries that does that. When you look at other industries, the gross profit, net income, the EBITDA, cash flow is so much higher. And it's people with much lower labor and really drilled into what they're doing, and they are specialists. The restaurant industry, we will take the average kid off the street and teach them how to run a $1 million business on pennies. That's crazy.
Yeah, Jason, I want to get into that because me and Dominic have had a show recently that we rewrote the P&L for a restaurant, and we took it and the P&L's been the same way for the last 150 years. It hasn't changed. It's, you know, you look at how your revenue stream comes in is typically one way of revenue. You know, it's your food revenue. And me and Dominic, we redid it. I think we had Chris on from App 8, and we joined and we tried to redo the P&L because I think it's broken. Do you think that the industry right now needs to revisit, like relook at this entirely? Because to your point, we're giving young kids typically no education. I want to say that the most respect, because I didn't either when I started running restaurants, right? Like you had so you're very low on your education side. You didn't take a finance group. You didn't take a training. You didn't take a leadership coaching group, but you put into such a high, very vulnerable industry with razor thin margins with very low ability to make mistakes. Like you just can't make mistakes, or you can close a $1 million restaurant in months, right? So is the whole model broken?
Yes, I'll go back to the P&L first. And I know some mathematicians will argue with me on this one, but I do believe
I'm not a mathematician. There's no argument here.
I do believe in the profit first view. Why can't we look at our P&Ls with the profit first view, meaning that we have, you know, one account that all of the sales go into, and then we have five other accounts, one for profit, one for the operator's income, one for taxes, and then one for the OpEx, everything that it takes to run the business. How come we can't create within our P&L that when we get the money, we put it into these buckets with a certain number for the profit, a certain number for the owner to eat and keep their lights on, and then a number to pay taxes, and then a number to run your business. If we were to do that, I think that we would run our restaurant business much differently, because what we do now is we take all the money in and then we spend all the money and then we wait till 30 days, kind of like jumping in the ocean and then putting your head down and say, I'm going to England. And then 30 days later, you pop your head up and say, I hope I'm here. You know, that doesn't work. You know, you need to have and know what you're going to be making at the end of the day. What, one more example. That is similar to someone going to work, working 60 hours in 1 week. And when they get their paycheck, they have enough to pay for their house, pay for their car, lights, gas, water, but have no money to eat, nor do anything that you want to do. If we wouldn't do that in our own life, why would we treat our business that way? So to answer your question, yes, we need to relook at the P&L differently.
Well, I think we need more training available for younger people like me and Dominic. Dominic owns a training company. There's your shout out, Dominic. I'm doing your job for you. But well, he does a lot of stuff but he does food safety training, but he also does a million other things when it comes to restaurants and support training, when it comes to development. Mm-hmm. And there's a demand for it. But sometimes there's a lot of companies out there. Dominic, I'm going to do a little soundbite for him. His is like really inexpensive. It's $24.99 and all these different training courses and stuff like this. He hits so many different people that's what they can afford. And when you look at these training courses and these different programs out there with a lot of different academies within our industry, there's some big bucks to buy, or you have to go to like an institution or a college. Forget about it. In a lot of the cases, it ain't going to happen. Right. So I think we need to give more channels, and there is some great companies out there as well that are affordable for people, and you don't need to take it as in a sense you get a diploma or a certificate or anything like a degree. But I think we need to encourage more of that. I think more restaurateurs that are getting into the space need to listen to podcasts, need to digest. We had Troy Hopper on, and Troy said, hey, I this podcast, this social stuff, I just dived into it, and he's got like all the tricks it is, and he just drowned himself in learning about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to do that. I think we need to encourage that in the industry, because one, it's tough, but no one's going to help you. Really, I don't think anyone's going to run over and go, hey, let me train you. I think there's a lot of people that need to have the opportunity to be able to do it themselves, make it easy for them and make it affordable. And we need to set that standard, because it's getting tougher. Jason, it's so tough right now in the industry. As you know, it is so tough, and it ain't getting easier. And those margins are going the wrong way more and more. Even AI ain't going to help us there. But no, I don't think it will. It's just tough. And I feel, so when I look at leadership in our industry, I really, well, first of all, it's great to have, you know, books like yourself on here and to talk about these, because I think it's a first step in the right direction, is learning what leadership really looks like within our industry. Because I could tell you, I ran a restaurant. A lot of people probably don't know this. I ran a restaurant, well, my 20 years is coming up with my company I'm with today. It's coming up on Friday. And prior to that, I ran a restaurant for three. I've been in the industry. It's my 34th year on Friday too. And 34 years in this industry.
Congratulations.
And I know. Hey, isn't that nuts? Crazy. Who thought from KFC to having a podcast? Like you said, 20 different things. I was trying to add that up in my head when you said that. How many I've been to. But I tell you, when you look at the things that I learned the most was the restaurant I put into the ground in 3 years. I took a restaurant that was, we were doing like $12,000 a night just in liquor. It was crazy busy. We brought Snoop Dogg to our place. We had an incredible, I know, it's like middle of Alberta. It's called Red Deer. We brought Snoop Dogg to Red Deer.
Wow.
I've had crazy stuff, but we took a restaurant that was doing like $12,000, $10,000 nights in liquor alone. And we brought it down to less than $1,000 a night. And we actually buried it after 3 years. It just took that. I learned more from that restaurant on what leadership was, how to run a business, books, staffing, scheduling, food cost, menus, all those things, than I did my 8 years with a very, very big franchise, you know, higher casual restaurant chain here in Canada. I was with them for 8 years and I learned a lot of amazing stuff there, but I really learned stuff is when you see the bills change and you're responsible for
yes.
it. And they change yes. color. I don't know if you know this, but bills will change color. There's a pink one and then it goes to the yellow one and then it goes to the pink one and then you get a blue one and then you get a visit.
No one wants to visit you.
I don't
no
know. One I can write a book. I want a book. I want a book. I'll call it how your invoices change color, right?
Changing colors of invoices.
and they get more threatening. They get more threatening. And then you get a phone call and then usually get a visit. I've been through that, but I didn't have a book. I had nothing. I didn't know where to go because, like you said, I was young, very young, and I got given this, you know, big restaurant, casual, you know, really funky place to run, and I had no idea. And that happened so much. So I think we need to encourage more and more people to read books like you have and understand what leadership is, because I think that's where it starts. I really believe it starts with leadership.
Two things come to mind whenever you go through that story. First thing is it's a story I tell or a example I use with many owners, many managers. First one is, let's say you take any district manager, bar manager into the woods. Now, nothing bad is going to happen, but you take them into the woods, you give them a sledgehammer and you point out a 4-foot wall. And you give them and you give them that hammer and you say, I want you to knock down this wall. Any manager or any owner without training, do you think that at some point they're going to be able to knock down that wall with that sledgehammer? Yes.
Yeah.
Now, take the same manager into the woods, give them some bricks, some water, mortar, and a level, and say, I want you to build me a 4-foot wall and make it leveled. How many managers or owners with no training can do that? So whenever you talk about that story, that story of, I took this business and I ran it down into the ground in 3 years. You are correct. That is very common. We know how to bring something down to the level of something that can be managed. And you are correct. We do need to change our view of coaching. I think pie in the sky now, but I think every single hospitality manager should get 6 months of coaching. And I say coaching because managing, leading, and coaching, three different things. You may not see it, but on the front of my shirt, it says, manage, lead, repeat. Manage, lead, coach, repeat. That is the key that our managers need to understand. It's three different things. Managing is taking a group of people, knowing the parameters that you have to work in, knowing the budget, where you need to get to, by what certain time, within what type of guardrails. We use managing more than anything else within our workday. There's nothing wrong with that. Leading is different, though. Leading is knowing the overarching goals for the company, for the industry, the challenges, what the next step changes. And also, whenever you run into issues and a group of people can't figure out what the next step should be, the leader helps to paint the picture so vividly that people know what the destination is, jump on the plane while it's being built, and choose to do so because they can see that destination. But coaching is something different. Managing and leading is the mastery of big groups. Coaching is the mastery of one-on-ones, getting people to know where they are, where they want to be, and how you are intensively training them to get to where they want to go And it comes from you understanding them as a person versus dealing with the big parameters or the industry. Whenever we can get coaching into our industry, we can do so much damn better than what we are currently doing right now.
So, okay. So, I'm so happy we have you on the show, because I just did I did a webinar last week. I did turn the audio on this time when I did the webinar, and it was about coaching versus consulting.
Yep.
So I did a webinar on this and really started to look at this, because back in the day when I started, there was consultants. And there's nothing wrong with consultants. They have a place, everything else. Yeah. But I really believe today every restaurant needs a coach. Do you believe that, Jason?
Yes, and I do, because I'm going to use one more example, okay? I'm full of examples. Just
I know, I love it.
Know this. Yeah, part, okay. So. Oh, all right, so my son, I will send you one, Jay. My son plays sports. He is a 16-year-old sophomore. And he's been playing sports since the age of 7. Now, at the age of 7, you can play AAU basketball, AAU local basketball. At that age, it's someone's parent that's yelling at you. You're running down the basketball court. You are all kind of traveling. They're smacking your arms, all kind of fouls, no whistles. Just chuck the ball up. It doesn't matter because you are 7. All right. Now, you can keep playing AAU and then you get to middle school. At middle school, you're now into scholastic basketball. You now have a coach teaching you basketball skills and drills. All right. So you can actually be coached in AAU and coached in school. And these kids are being coached for 9 out of 12 months of the year. Then they get to high school. Now they're being coached by a team of coaches that are showing you more advanced techniques. You can still play AAU at this level. If so, you're being coached as a teenager, 9 out of 12 months of the year. Then you get to college. In college, no more AAU. They are training you 4 to 6 hours per day, nearly year round, and they're getting you ready for the WNBA or the NBA. In the NBA, as you know, there's 82 games in a season, not counting preseason nor playoffs. At this level, players are getting paid tens of millions of dollars. And yet still, there's a person on the sideline screaming at you who to cover, when to fall back, when to press forward. And at the break of every play, they take everyone that's even not playing on the bench and go over what the next play is. And all of this for a ball and a hoop. But in our industry, we have people that say, I don't need to coach my team. I don't even need huddles. I pay my people $15 per hour. Yeah. They better know what to do. That's why coaching has got to change, even when we look at as we get older. So our kids can be coached 9 out of 12 months of the year. But we say, well, because I'm 30 now, I don't need coaching. That's incorrect.
So I got to throw something in there, Jason, because I got to share this with you, because this I found this out as well. And this is to that point. I'm going to name these people. And this is what I found out. Oprah Winfrey has a leadership coach. She's a coach. Bill Gates has a coach. Serena Williams has a coach. Tony Robbins actually coaches her. The Facebook COO and the former CEO of Google all have coaches. These people don't need coaches. Like they've done well, but they have coaches. And I get goosebumps just thinking about that, because not only do I think every restaurant needs a podcast, but I do believe every restaurant, and I believe, like you said, every leader and manager or owner needs to have a coach. I absolutely love this, because I wish I had a coach. Dominic is literally like my coach today, Coach Dom. he's seriously, like, he's changed my life. And and it's that moment. And I don't know if it's the world today that we need that little bit of, maybe it is, maybe it should have been like this from day one, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago, that we needed coaches. Maybe it'll worked out for some people. But I really think when you look at today, in the industry, there is so much. I think it's over 72 different things that they have to look at each day as a manager that runs a restaurant, a GM. They have like over 72. And that, I'm sure that's probably maybe a little less or maybe just a little bit more. It's around 70, let's say. How do you do that? And you wake up every day and you got staff problems. Your restaurant's losing money. You've got all these different situations, these challenges, and you sit back in those offices and you're dealing with your home stuff on top of that life, right? You got to throw that in there. And how do you, and I find where Madonna comes into my life is where he just keeps encouraging me, you know, It's just this little stuff. And I probably guess that he doesn't even know he's doing this, but those mean the world to me because there's days where I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I can do this. Like, why am I doing podcast time? Or why am I, you know, writing all these different presentations and everything else? And he keeps going, yeah, keep going, man. Keep doing her. And those little things, and I think that's sometimes I find in leadership, it doesn't necessarily always have to be these massive Simon Sinek moments, I call them. And I love Simon. Or Gary Vee moments, right? It's not really like you don't have to have, it would be great if we could always say those moments like they do, but sometimes it's just that phone call or that text saying, go for it, man. You can do it. I tell you, like, I think everyone needs a coach, podcast and a coach. And I think the world would be better. I think our industry would be better. I think our industry would be so, I think, first of all, we'd probably be making more money. In our industry.
Yes. You know what? It is crazy. There is a study done by UpCoach, and UpCoach did the study in 2022. Okay. They found that first, in 2022, the world spent $366 billion on leadership and management development. In the U.S. alone, the U.S. spent... 166 of that $366 billion in the U.S. alone on leadership and management development. Now, in coaching, they only spent $90 billion. Now, I say only $90 billion like I got an extra $90 billion in my back pocket. But when you look at it compared to managing and leading, it's much less. And for those companies that invested in coaching, they found 68% of their managers were more productive, and 73% of those that invested in coaching had higher returns than their competition. But the question is, why do people view coaching as something that is only reserved for the top 1% of executives? And it's not. Coaching is simply a vehicle to help train and develop your team. That's it. It's just a vehicle to help train and develop your team. It doesn't have to be a third party from the outside. It's just setting aside the time to have that certain type of focus for getting to know the individual, getting them to talk through what their goals are, for us as leaders to talk less and listen more and give them the time to talk through what their goals are.
I have to, so first of all, I got some comments coming across here. Actually, there's a comment here from one of our folks that I work with that they're talking about the presentation I gave to them about the value we could provide was worthwhile. And it really is. And I think when you look at coaching, like I think from a point of organizations that help restaurants or work with restaurants, no matter if you're selling food to them or if you're a coach and that's all you do for the businesses, I think it really changes the world when you start coaching or being coached. I go back to this. So Jason here, so you have these incredible analogies. What would the world be like if all of our sports teams didn't have coaches? Right?
If all of our sports teams didn't have coaches.
Yeah, you took the coach out of the hockey teams. You took the coach out of the basketball teams, football.
I love Draymond Green, but we would have a bunch of Draymond Greens out there. Just
I love than that.
Headlocks.
Oh, exactly. But think about, like you know, I don't need to name drop my hockey team here, the Oilers, but we were doing very good in the rankings, and I'm sure I get a few comments from people watching this, but as soon as we changed coaches, we went on a, I forget how many, almost broke the record of the streak of how many games won in a row. And I go, do you think it had to do something with the coach maybe? And I really believe that's when you think about business. And a lot of people, I think, look, sometimes maybe think a coach is in a mindset of my business is going down. I'm not doing well, so I need to help. And someone said to me, and I forget who it was, is don't look at a coach. Might have been Jim Taylor. Don't look at a coach so much as a negative thing, but as you actually know what you're doing, because it's actually going to, you know, propel you forward more than if you don't. So it's actually, you're smarter if you say, you know what, I need a coach or I have a coach, than you are if you say, no, I'm okay, I don't need one. I don't know. I just don't know how the industry or how our restaurateurs out there and our chefs and everyone else can move forward in how dynamic our industry is becoming without someone encouraging them and coaching them along the way, and also looking out for them in some cases, because we do make a lot of mistakes in the industry too.
Yes.
Right. And that's okay. I think that's, there's a beautiful thing about that, but I think that we need them. I really do. And I think, so I'd love you to talk a little bit about, is a coach a leader? Or is coach different than a leader? Is it the same thing?
I say it is the same person, but I say that you use a leadership mindset and a coach mindset in different situations. So yes, you can absolutely be a leader, and in your day as a leader, you have to manage your business. In your day as a leader, you have to lead your team. In your day as a leader, you have to coach your people. So yes, you can be the same person. But the thing is that we have to get better at understanding those three differences. When we understand that difference between the three and make time for those three, we can then be more successful.
What, Jason, over your experience, what derails this most of the time? When people are going, they watch a show like this and they go, you know what, I'm going to go get a coach. And then they wake up tomorrow morning and the world hits them in the face and their freezer goes down and the staffing goes out the window, all the plans happen. And they get derailed. Is that what happens most of the time? Or do people just say, you know what, I'm good?
I think that this is another analogy. I think that our restaurant people are great firemen and firewomen. And whenever a fire happens, we know, because one, we're walking through our restaurant like the Terminator, neck on swivel, 20 feet out, 20 feet wide. We are just looking for the next fire. Soon as we see that smoke, we grab our waste, grab that fire hose, and we are just pouring on it. Whoosh. But if you think about this, okay, and most managers listening to this, most owners listening to this can picture themselves. They know that they are going to go put out this fire. But when you are a fireman or a firewoman putting out a fire on a building, you're looking at one side. You're looking at only the front of the building and you're putting out one fire. Our challenge is we have to stop being firewomen and firemen and start being fire chiefs. We have to start fire chiefing. Fire chiefing means that we are the ones directing our firemen and firewomen to go cover the different sides of the building while we're looking at the whole of it in order to make sure it's truly extinguished. That is the challenge.
Do you think we kind of, and I know this is going to sound maybe bizarre, do you think we kind of like it when things kind of go sideways?
Like, oh, hell yeah, because we are sideways monsters, yo.
I kind of like that, okay, right? Well, we kind of like that edge.
Yes, because there's also times that we get into this business because we don't want to get into the business end. Anything that can distract us from the business side, we're like, yes, I'm going to go do that. I'll be right back. And then you go do your thing. And some people enjoy that. And that's why I, again, go back to manage, lead, coach, repeat. You have to understand those three things separately so that you can say, you know what? I've been doing a way too much of this and I haven't done any of that to help move my team, my people, my business forward.
I love it. Oh, let's see. Dominic's waking up. Sorry. My phone's lighting up. Hopefully everything's okay there. He's probably like watching us right now. No. It's okay. I won't repeat what he said.
Okay, good.
It's all good.
Good, good, good.
It's okay. I'm in debt to him forever. But I do want to bring your book up here because I do want everyone to see what it looks like here. So I'm gonna bring it up on the screen. And I think it's important. Now, where can they get your book?
Okay, yes. So the book comes out March 18th. And
it's not out yet?
Every leader. It's not even out yet. It comes out March 18th.
This is huge.
So I'm going to give a few more reasons why that it's huge. When I wrote this book, I wanted it to be first more than just a book. I wanted it to be tactile. I wanted it to be a short read in order to meet managers where they are with not having that much time on their hand. We like pictures. We just like pictures and moving pictures called TikTok video. But I also wanted the book to be tied to something of me giving back. I'm just like you. I've been in this business for 30 years. And I said, what can I do to give back to this business? So I reached out to Giving Kitchen. Giving Kitchen, as you may know, is an amazing nonprofit. Jen Heidinger helped to put this together with her husband when he was stricken with cancer back in 2012. And the community of Atlanta, they were just trying to raise, I think, $12,000 to $15,000. They ended up raising $300,000 in one night in order to help them. From this event, they started out Giving Kitchen. Giving Kitchen helps food service workers in crisis. Since Giving Kitchen helps food service workers in need, my book helps food service workers transform into hospitality leaders. I have dedicated the book sales from March 18th to April 18th. Every book sold helps to raise $30,000 for Giving Kitchen. My goal is to get this book into the hands of 10,000 food service workers from pre-orders all the way to April 18th. And so that is my goal with this book. You can get this book on Amazon right now for a pre-order with Kindle, or wait till March 18th. On March 18th, you can then get Kindle, paperback, or hardcover. And every book sold in that first 30 days goes towards raising $30,000 to help give back to the industry that has given so much to everyone else.
So, Jason, what we'll do is we'll definitely put this on my – what I'll do is I'll do what I can to help you up here. And we'll put it into my newsletter, into my podcast channels. I'll repost it every day for you. How's that? On my channels every day for that whole time up to April 18th. And because this is awesome. And I believe in that as well. We have to give back into this industry. This industry has given me an incredible life. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm grateful for people like you to come in here and help us. Right. Like it really is. It's huge. So I got goosebumps from you. I am so excited to meet you finally and to take the time late night on our late night show to join us. It's incredible. We need more people like you. We really do. And you're leading the way.
Thank you, sir.
And that's the big thing. I think I told someone today, I was coaching someone this afternoon and I said, you know, it all starts with yourself, right? You have to lead your team. You have to be the inspiration. And we need to inspire again. I think we're forgetting to inspire And I tell you, inspiring people with this book. I know I can't. So I'm glad I didn't say I read it because I would have lied. And I can't lie. If everyone knows the show. I really suck at lying. But I'm going to order it. And then I'll, like I said, I'll put it up on my channels. I'm going to put it in my newsletter. And then I'll repost every day up to the 18th of April for you on my channels. And people can order it. And that's incredible. You are incredible, Jason. And I just want to thank you so much for joining us on our late night show. Dominic, you missed a good one, buddy. And hopefully we can have you back. And we'll have
Dominic. I'd love to, man. Look, anytime you want me back, and I'm going to make my way up to Canada next year. Yes. I will be at the show. Absolutely. And always, for everyone listening, please manage, lead, coach, repeat. Let's make this industry better.
You know who I need to introduce you to is that we have a gentleman up here, Matt Rolfe. I don't know if you know Matty. Matt is a good friend of mine. I call him Canada's restaurant coach because he is incredible as well. And you guys, I'm going to connect you two because there's some synergy feeling it. And he's got the same thing. He gives back so much as well. And he helps so many restaurants out and leaders on becoming better leaders as well. So you guys we need more of you in the industry. There should be millions of you. And just thank you again, Jason. And have a great evening. And sorry for so late. And Dominic, I won't say what he said, but Dom, you missed a good one, man. Hope that nap was good. And to everyone else, I want to thank you. I fell asleep on a podcast. He didn't make it.
He didn't even make it to the podcast.
He didn't even make it. At least I want to listen. I want to thank everyone else that was joining us on LinkedIn as well as Instagram. Thanks so much for the comments on Instagram. Also, we have a gentleman on here. Richard is joining us on Instagram, and Richard's going to come on next week to talk about his new podcast. He's another rock star in the industry, and I can't wait for everyone to listen to his new podcast coming out. And we're going to have him on the Late Night Show next Thursday to talk about his new show. We have Chef Shane's on the show tomorrow night. He's an Indigenous chef up here in Calgary, and he just rolled out a new book as well. So he's on the show tomorrow. We have a surprise on Friday for International Women's Day. And I just thank you. It's been a pleasure, Jason, and I can't thank you enough for joining us. And to everyone else, have a great evening. Get out there, get this book. and we need more leaders. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful evening, y'all.
You bet.